This one thing is what we're going to be talking about today. It's first Sunday of the New Year's. We said earlier, we asked who's made resolutions. Now that everybody's here, let's raise your hand high if you have made New Year's resolutions this year. All right, you've made them. They're official. Raise your hand if you want to do that, and you're probably going to be doing it soon. How many say, I don't do resolutions? All right. It's interesting, huh? Wonder why we don't do resolutions, a lot of us. Anybody? Louder. Because we don't keep them? Any other reasons? Okay. A day is a day, right? You need to do what you need to do when you need to do it. Okay? Yeah, I think the biggest reason why people don't keep resolutions is they have failed over and over again. And experts say you have to write those resolutions down for them to mean anything. They also say you need to share those with someone else so they can hold you accountable for what you want to do. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we could say we want to focus on in 2016. Things that are good, things that are important. There's a whole list of things you could come up with. But today, I want us to concentrate on this one thing. This one thing is different for all of us. And you probably already know what your one thing is. It's that thing that's hanging over your head. That thing is kind of the linchpin to other things. And if you don't take care of this one thing, then it's going to mess a whole bunch of other things up this year or any time. It's that one thing that if you could accomplish this, if you did nothing else, you accomplish this one thing, your year will be so much better than last year. Even in 6 months, you might see a drastic improvement if you focused your energy and your attention on that one thing that's most important in your life. Like I said, it's different from all of us. I'm going to give you a list of things that I think might summarize most of our one things. Yours may not be on this list. And then we're going to open up the Bible to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, which we have studied a couple years ago. We're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 6 today. It's a great story of a guy who knew what his one thing was, and he jumped into this task of completing his one thing, and it's inspirational. And I hope it's going to be inspirational to us. Here's some ideas. Perhaps your one thing is a habit that you need to break. I think that's true about a lot of our resolutions, right? They're habits we need to, or a new habit we need to start. But again, I'm not looking for a list of resolutions. I'm looking for the thing. So this habit of yours gets you in trouble. This habit of yours messes up your physical health or your relationships. There's a habit that maybe we need to break. For sure, that habit is getting in the way of our relationship with God. Perhaps it's not a habit. Perhaps for you, it's a goal that you want to accomplish. It's a goal that has been on your heart for a long time. And you keep thinking, I'll do that as soon as I win the lottery. I quit my job and have enough money to do that. There's a goal that God has laid on your heart, something he wants you to accomplish. Maybe it's starting a new ministry. Maybe it's volunteering. Maybe it's starting up a new charity. I don't know what it is, but perhaps for you it's a goal that you need to accomplish or a project you need to complete. I'm just going to run through this one because Liz is going to be yelling and laughing loudly because I'm a good starter of projects. If you come to my house and you walk to the front door, you will see a trench. A trench where I am trying to reroute the water from the gutters right away from the house. And you know, women have this thing when they're pregnant of nesting, right? A lot of times a week or two before the pregnancy, it just kicks in and they start cleaning, they start doing all this stuff. Well, I was nesting the day before Liz went into labor. I had the tiller out there digging trenches, and I'm thinking, I'm going to finish this whole project today, and I'm going to get it mulched, and it's going to look good. I have a lot of projects I need to complete. I wouldn't say that's my one thing, because that to me, that is just not that important. Not a lot hinges on me finishing that project, except for my marriage, and I will finish it, Liz, okay? Perhaps for you, it's a relationship that you need to restore. A relationship that has gone sour. Some people said some things they should have said. Words were spoken in anger. And you haven't spoken in a long time. And it's silly. Sometimes you don't remember what it was about. There's a relationship you need to restore. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's with your parents. Maybe it's with a friend. Somebody betrayed the other one. Is there a relationship that is your one thing that must be restored this year? Maybe it's not a relationship that needs to be destroyed or to restore. Maybe it's a relationship you must destroy, you must end, because that relationship with that person or that group of people is getting you nowhere. In fact, it's taking you away from all your desired goals and what you want to accomplish. They are taking you away from the better you that you want to be. A relationship that you must restore, or a relationship that maybe you need to destroy and get rid of. There's nothing wrong with those people. They are good people, right? They're good people. My friends are good people. I like to hang out. Yeah, they're good people. But something happens when you get with those good people. Bad things happen. So maybe we need to walk away from some relationships this year. Or it may be financial. Financial debt will wreck our lives. It'll wreck our relationships. It will wreck our relationship with God. It will wreck our focus. Perhaps the most important thing for you is to get rid of some debt. Retire the debt. Start using money God's way. I don't know what your thing is. Maybe it's represented up here. Maybe it's not. Let's get to our story of Nehemiah. I'll give you a little background. When we see Nehemiah, especially in chapter 6, or at the beginning of the book, he is working for a fellow named Artaxerxes the First. He's not just working for him, he's a slave, all right? He's his wine taster or his cup bearer. Now, let's go back 100 years from this point. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians invaded Judea in Israel, and they took away all the best and the brightest. You know some of those names if you're a churchgoer. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We have stories about those guys in the Bible. They were bright, and Nebuchadnezzar took them back to Babylon. And then he enslaved tons and hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions of people, brought them out of Israel into Babylon, and they were slaves. They were in exile. 100 years later, there's a new superpower. Persia comes in and kicks some Babylonian booty. And the leader here of Persia is Artaxerxes the First. So we find Nehemiah in the court of King Artaxerxes the First in Persia, in the city of Susa. And he's got an important job, even though he's a servant. King of Persia, and this all happens around 444 years before Christ, 444 years before Christ. Now, while Nehemiah is cupbearer to the king, he hears reports of what's going on back in Jerusalem. See, over the last 100 years, there have been waves of people that have been allowed to go back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. Ezra is one of them. And they try to focus on building the temple, and they start rebuilding the wall. So there's been people repopulating Jerusalem. Probably in the last 100 years, since it's been over 100 years, the people living in Jerusalem have never seen their city with a wall completed all the way around it. Now, wall and cities were very important in those days, right? It was for protection, to keep out the bad guys. That was the main reason. The walls have been destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians came in. They destroyed the walls. They destroyed the city. They destroyed the temple. They leveled stuff. They burned it. Nehemiah hears that even though waves of people have gone back to Jerusalem to restore the temple, to rebuild the wall, it's not going so good. The wall is in shambles. And there's foreign warlords, neighboring warlords, who are coming in and pillaging and stealing and fighting, and they're powerless. They have no defense. Nehemiah is heartbroken for his city, Jerusalem, even though he's probably never been there. But it's his hometown. It's where his people are from. And he hears that the people are suffering. So he does something very risky. He's a slave, remember? He goes to the king, Artaxerxes, and he says, "Will you allow me to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls?" This guy tastes for the king's poison every day. He gets really rich food, but he could die at any minute, right? The king depends on him. Nehemiah has a relationship with the king that is trustworthy. And the king, Artaxerxes, says, "Not only will I let you go back, I'm going to make you the governor of Judea, basically the mayor of Jerusalem. I'm going to give you everything you need, all the money, all the supplies, all the people to rebuild those walls." What a great blessing he gives Nehemiah. So, Nehemiah shows up at Jerusalem. He checks out the wall, takes a day and a night, walks around, he surveys the damage. And he decides, if I can only accomplish one thing while I'm here, my one thing is, I'm going to rebuild this wall. If it's the only thing I do, if it's the last thing I do, I am going to rebuild this wall. He recruits people and he gets them on board, and the whole city is involved in rebuilding the wall. The children, the wives, the parents, everybody, hands-on, old people, young people, rebuilding the wall. That's the one thing. It's a huge task, and it required everybody to help. The surrounding neighbors weren't too excited about this. I mean, they used to come into the city as they please and take in what they want, right? Their armies have been pillaging Jerusalem. They've been taunting, and Jerusalem has been living in fear. So now these neighboring communities, warlords, are not happy that the wall is going up around the city. The leader of opposition is Sanballat. And we don't know anybody. Do you know anybody by that name, Sanballat? I mean, we don't want to name our kid Sanballat, right? Maybe a puppy. We can bring this name back. I bet we can bring this name back. It's not a great name. Sanballat is kind of the leader of all the neighboring warlords. And he wants to stop progress on this wall. He and his cohorts send in spies to infiltrate the Israelites, to taunt them, to discourage them. They start rumors, trying to get the rumor back to King Artaxerxes that these people are rebuilding the city and they are going to rebel against you, Artaxerxes. They're going to set up their own kingdom and their own armies. Just false rumors. They discouraged the people by taunting them and yelling at them. They even sent armed forces in to fight them. Nehemiah had to rearrange all the workers so that one of them had a sword in one hand and a mortar in the other. And they were building one person had to come off the wall with a sword while he's got his back where he keeps building. And they fight him off and they keep rebuilding the wall. They're almost finished. The walls are getting higher and higher. The only thing left is to repair the gates and install the gates. Sanballat and his buddies see that their tactics are not working. So it's time to change tactics. A different strategy. What they want to do is lure Nehemiah away from the wall, outside the city, so they can kill him. If you kill the leader, you'll kill the movement. So that's their plan. All right, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Now, when it was reported to Sanballat and Tobiah, to Geshem, the Arab, and to the rest of our enemies, this is Nehemiah speaking, that I had rebuilt the wall and that no breach remained in it. In other words, there were no holes in it, right? No weak spots. It was a strong wall. Although at that time I had not set up the doors and the gates. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, this is their new tactic here, come, let us meet together at Sepharim in the plain of Ono. But Nehemiah knew they were planning to harm him. Come, let's do lunch. Let's grab some coffee. Come down off the wall. You've been working really hard. We're your neighbors. Let's talk about this. And Nehemiah has the best response. This verse pops off the page. This is our key verse we're going to today. This phrase that he's about to say. So I sent a message to them saying, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. I am doing a great work on this wall. I'm not about to come down and talk to you. What I'm doing is more important than what you want to talk about. I love this next line too. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? That's a powerful verse. Let's say together just this part. Ready? I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Again, I am doing a great work and I cannot. Now say it like you mean it. Ready? I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. What is your great work? What is your one thing that is most important? You accomplish this and everything else lines up or starts to line up. You don't accomplish this one thing, and it affects every area of your life. It's hanging over you. You probably know what that one thing is already. Are you going to let distractions take you away from your focus on your one thing? It's easy. I have ADD. It is so easy for me to get distracted. I posted something on Instagram the other day. I've restarted my chronological Bible, my yearly Bible. I'm supposed to read it in 1 year, right? It's even designed where it says January 1 at the top. You get 2 or 3 pages, January 2. You can't get lost in the thing, right? It's easy. If you know what day it is, you know it's supposed to be reading. It took me 3 years to read it last time. I'm so easily distracted. But now that I have a baby, that's not a problem anymore. It just gets worse, doesn't it? The more kids you have, the more, the busier you are. I mean, whatever it is, they are, what? 4 kids? Yes, y'all know. Distractions will not stop. The distractions will not stop. Whatever your one thing is, there's always going to be distractions. And we need to say to ourselves and to those distractions, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should I stop this most important thing and leave it, be distracted, and come down to your level and participate with whatever you want me to do? I'm not going to do it. This is a phrase, I'm doing a great work and I'm not coming down, that we should memorize. It's a phrase that we should say to ourselves over and over. Every day when you wake up, you should say, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. You should say it over your kids when they're asleep in the bed. Sneak in there at night, stroke their hair, and say, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Say it to your spouse. Say it together. We are doing a great work, and we cannot come down. It should be written on plaques or framed and put it in our house. Men, when you see a picture on your desk or in your wallet or whatever of your family, you should be saying, or your mom or whoever it is, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. I will not be distracted by business trips and making another deal and making more money and another meeting that makes me come home late and I miss dinner with my family again and again and again. I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Maybe church is your great work. Your ministry, whatever the ministry that is, in church, outside of church. God has called you to do one thing, to start a new ministry, to get involved, get other people involved. And there's distractions pulling you away. And we got to say, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. I will not come down. Well, they kept sending these messages over and over, four times. Four times they said, hey, come on down, let's talk. They were not going to give up. But Nehemiah, what does it say here? I answered them in the same way every time. No. I will not come down. I'm doing a great work. You're not going to stop me. You tell Sanballat, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Say it again with me. I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. You know what your wall is. I bet. Something you've not been paying attention to. Something that has a breach in the wall of your life, whatever area that is. There's a breach. There's a hole. You've been ignoring it. You've been pushing to the side. You've been hoping that nobody notices. You just keep going on with what you've been doing, but it is there, a huge hole in your defenses, in your wall. Man, I told you to look at your photos and say, I'm doing a great work. When you look at your wife and your kids, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Ladies, you need to look at your husbands and say, you're a piece of work. I don't know what ladies think when they think about us. Probably is like, oh, you poor pitiful thing, you need some help. How can I help you? Ladies, wives, you have a great work to do in us. College students, high school students, single adults, you know what your one thing is. What is that one thing that is holding you back from a better life, a better year in 2016? You know where the breach is, but it's hard. It is hard work to build that wall back. Relationships are hard. When it's time to restore relationship, oh man, that is difficult because it means I have to humble myself. I have to ask for forgiveness. I have to give forgiveness. I don't want to do that. I kind of like holding a grudge against this person. It makes me feel better. And yet you know it can't go on like that. I'm not coming down. You're cute. You're really cute, but I'm not coming down for you. I like you guys. I like you. I really do. I'd love to spend time with you, but I'm not coming down from my great work to hang out with you. I like to make money. And there's opportunities for me to do business deals and make more money. But you know what? I'm doing a great work. I will not be distracted by money and opportunities. I want to finish my great work. If I do nothing else, this one thing I want to finish. What is your one thing? One thing I like about this story is that there are no supernatural miracles. It's just hardworking people who are dedicated with a leader that pushes them. Here's how the chapter ends. So the wall was completed, woohoo, on the 25th month of Elul in 52 days. When our enemies heard of it and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized this work had been accomplished with the help of God. Even though God didn't do this big miracle to rebuild the wall, he relied on Nehemiah and his workers and their dedication. It's obvious that this was a work of God. It's obvious this was a work. Everybody around knew it. Now, God may give you a miracle to help you rebuild your wall, to concentrate on your one thing. He may do it. He may give you supernatural help that you can't explain. But even if you don't see that, if you don't recognize the supernatural miracle that is going on, or God's hand is in it. There's a lot of hard work involved in it. This would be a good time to end this sermon. The wall is built. The people are happy about it. They got their restored protection around Jerusalem. The enemies recognize the work of God. They did their one. Nehemiah completed his one thing. Amen. Let's go home. But you know me better than that. I need to get a little personal. Maybe it's a habit that you need to break. For some of you, you drink too much. How do I know? How can you know when you drink too much? Because somebody has told you, you drink too much. You need me to say that again? It's pretty simple, right? If someone, a friend, comes to you and says, I think you're drinking too much, you probably have a drinking problem and you're drinking too much. Some of you, the habit you need to break is prescription drug addiction, maybe. And it's legitimate. You have doctors who all prescribe you these things because you need it, but you're addicted. For some of us, it's tobacco addiction. Whether you're a teenager or an adult, tobacco is an addiction. And you need to focus on that one thing. It's ruining your health. This year is the year. Make your health and your future your great work. Maybe it's financial. Maybe you can't afford your lifestyle. Maybe your hobby is too expensive. Maybe your cars are too new and too expensive. Maybe you have credit cards that are maxed out. Your credit rating is shot. You have trouble getting through each month. Not because you're careful and you're good stewards, because our lifestyle of consumerism and doing what I want to do when I want to do it. It's time to say, this is the year I'm getting out of debt. I don't care what I drive. I don't care what people think about me. I'm staying on this wall until I get out of debt. I cannot come down until I learned to manage my finances in a way that honors God. Maybe for you at school, some of you need to go back and finish school. Some of you have dropped out. You need to pick yourself up and you need to get back in school. Maybe you're a high schooler or middle schooler, and school means you don't like it at all, right? It means nothing to you. You'd rather not do it, especially if some of our homeschoolers who, you know, they wear pajamas all day, so it's kind of hard to get motivated to get up and get my work done, you know. School is important. Your education is important. Maybe that's your one thing that you really need to tackle this year. Get your work done. Get back in class. Find tutors. Get help. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe husband and wife are here, and if things keep going the way they've been going, in 6 months, you're going to be here. And a year, at the end of the year, you're going to be here. I'm not saying whose fault it is. I'm saying, as a couple, this is your one thing. You're headed for divorce if this keeps going. We need to reverse the trend. We need to grow closer and closer and closer to each other. God made us to be one flesh. That is His gift to spouses. So maybe your one thing is your marriage relationship. Maybe you need to quit pretending, to be open and transparent, to tell your growth group what problems you're having. Not that they're going to become your counselors, but they can hold you accountable and pray for you. You need to say, I don't care how many marriage counselors I have to go to. I'll go to as many marriage counselors as I have to. I don't care what I have to sacrifice and give up to keep my marriage, to make my marriage stronger. I'm tired of being selfish. I want to be selfless. Maybe it's relationships that you need to get rid of. A roommate. Maybe it's a guy-girl thing. People you work with, people you hang with, old high school friends, old college buddies, whatever it is. You need to decide, this is my wall, and you're not going to distract me from this one thing. I'm not coming down until this one thing is resolved in my life. Maybe it's a positive thing. All those were negative. Maybe your one thing is a positive thing. God's calling you to start something new, a new ministry. Maybe a new business, something new. Maybe He's calling you to adopt a child or foster care. God is calling us. He's birthed a vision in you, a desire in you. Be faithful to that. That is your one thing. So the big challenge today is that when you walk out that door, nothing's changed. Everything's the same. Every distraction is still there. The only thing that may have changed is you making up your mind about your one thing. And you know what your wall is. You got to make up our mind. We got to say this every single day. I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Memorize it. Repeat it over and over and over. I'm doing a great work in my family. I'm doing a great work on my health and taking care of myself. I'm doing a great work at school. I'm doing a great work in my marriage. I'm doing a great work with my finances. I'm doing a great work on breaking this habit. I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. You know what? I'm going to play less golf. I'm not going to travel as much, no more as many business trips, no more extra deals. I'm going home to be with my family. You and I have no idea what hangs in the balance with these decisions to stay on the wall and complete the task. We have no idea. what it would mean to really stay on the wall and complete the task. How would it change your life? How would it change your family's life? How would it change this church? It might even change your city and your part of the world. We have no idea the impact if we take this challenge seriously. Let's say it one more time. Ready? I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. What is your one thing? Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for motivating us, for inspiring us, for speaking to us, for giving us your vision of way things ought to be. We pray, Lord, that you will, your Spirit will rise up within us and make us determined to name this one thing and to rebuild our walls. We pray this through Christ's name. Amen.